Our scripture today is John 15, verses 12 through 17, and the title of the message is Loving Branches Sheltering Each Other. John 15, 12 through 17. Let's pray before we read this great passage of scripture. Heavenly Father, these words were spoken by your Son, the Son of your love, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would speak to us powerfully in the reading and the proclamation of the good news that your love in us and our abiding in your love enables us to love one another. And Lord God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. John 15, verses 12 through 17, focuses on the friendship and love that is to exist and control the branches of the vine, which are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have committed their lives to him by the grace of God. So all of chapter 15 is concerned with our relationships in the body of Christ. Verses 1 to 11 have to do with our relationship with God the Father and God the Son. We are branches united to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the trunk. And the Holy Spirit runs from the trunk through into the branches in order to give us the life and power and strength and forgiveness of Christ. So we bear fruit through our union with Christ. But then in verses 12 through 17, we are told that as a result of the love of Christ being in us, that is to work itself out in loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are branches together who are to shelter one another in love. And then verses 18 through 27 have to do with our relationship with the world, that the world will be set against us, even friends, even former friends, even friends, even family, may be hostile to us, but we are to remain firm and resolute and loving in being witnesses for Christ in a world hostile to the gospel. But I want to begin the message today because it has to do with the love of Christ flowing out of us to one another with this story, a dramatic story. The boys' lives were inseparably intertwined. From the first, they dressed alike. They went to the same schools. They did the very same things. In fact, they were so much alike, so intertwined, that it wound up that they never married. And when their father died, they returned home to their hometown in order to run the family business. And the business was a model of creative partnership in the town. People would point to these boys, now men, twins, business as an ideal model of partnership in working together in a business enterprise. Well, one morning, a customer came in to their store, and he made a small purchase, only a couple dollars worth of items. So the brother who waited on him took the couple dollars, put it on the register, and walked the man out through the front door. Sometime later, he remembered what he had done, that he had put the couple dollars from that customer on top of the register. But when he went to look for it on the register, it wasn't there. It was gone. So he asked his brother if his brother had seen the couple dollars on the register. And his brother said, no, I haven't seen it at all. So the brother responded to his brother by saying, that's funny. I left those couple dollars on the register. And no one else has been in the store. I wonder where it went. I distinctly remember putting the couple dollars there. Now, had the matter been dropped at this point, really a mystery involving something very minor, love would have covered what was to transpire in a total disruption of a relationship to the end of their life. The other brother was, so the brother then later, with a note of insinuation in his tone, said, I remember putting those couple dollars on that register, and no one else was in this store other than you. And the other brother caught the note of accusation and responded in defensive anger. And that was the beginning. It was the first breach of trust in the relationship that was to become a war until the end of their life. It grew wider and wider. In fact, every time the matter was brought up, there was countercharges and other charges so that they could not even resolve the issue among themselves, and they decided to dissolve the business together, and they ran a partition wall right in the middle of the business so they would have no contact with each other. The end of the partnership and the end of the brotherhood. In fact, that business became a source of division to the whole community because both brothers tried to enlist allies in the community to their side. And it went on for years. Then one day a car pulled up and a man walked up in a dress pretty well, and he walked into the store, came in the side and approached one of the brothers and said, hey, I've got a question. How many years have you been located as a businessman at this business? And he said, well, we've been here for over 20 years. And he said, good, because you're the person I need to settle an old score with. He said, over 20 years ago, I was without work. I was going on a train from place to place, looking for food, looking for work, and got off the train and happened to come to your place, and I walked behind the alley, and it looked like no one was there, and I saw a couple dollars on the cash register. I hadn't eaten for 3 days, and even though I grew up in a Christian home and I had never stolen before, in desperation I gave in to the temptation and I stole those couple dollars. And that has weighed heavy on my conscience ever since, that old sin. And I knew I had to make peace with God and I had to make amends with you. So I'm here to pay those couple dollars and whatever damage it has caused. And the stranger was surprised when he saw the look on that brother's face, a look of dismay, and the brother started crying. And the brother took him by the arm and said, "You've got to go next door. And you've got to share that story with my brother." And as that stranger shared the story then with the other brother, he was amazed. There were two old men who looked alike, crying uncontrollably in the embrace of each other. Now that dramatic story has a lot of obvious truth. How distrust can poison a relationship or relationships. How good friendships can be destroyed by suppositions that have no basis in fact. But there's another lesson that's not quite so obvious to us. And that lesson is, this is as true among Christians as it is among unbelievers. How often in the body of Christ, even in the same church or the same family, loved ones who have not spoken to each other for years. The importance of friendship and love between believers is not confined to outrageous situations. Hundreds in the body of Christ are lonely and longing for friendship. Some Christians would give anything for one good friend. The principles of John 15, 12 through 17 apply to everyone, to those who have friends and those who do not, to those who are outgoing and those who are shy. They govern the beginning of friendships, the development of friendships. And as your friendships develop, these truths that we're going to look at regarding friendship in the next couple of weeks, couple of Sundays, are meant so that our friendships would become deeper. That as we cultivate a deeper friendship with Christ, we would cultivate a deeper friendship with one another in the body of Christ. There's one point today, and that is sacrifice. The first main ingredient and characteristic of Christ-centered love is sacrifice. Look at verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." In verses 12 and 13, we find the first great truth of friendship. Friendship is sacrificial. Friendship and love in the body of Christ between the branches of the vine. Sacrifice is essential, Jesus is declaring, to genuine friendship and to genuine love. Now, this command in verse 12 is really a restatement of the new command that Jesus gave his disciples in John 13:34, where he told them, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." The idea of sacrifice is found in the all-important phrase from the lips of our Lord that would be demonstrated in infinite measure at the cross, "as I have loved you." For Christ loved each of us so much that he gave his life for our salvation. The old commandment was to love God with everything in us, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan who saw a Jew beaten by the road by robbers, and bandaged his wounds, put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and cared for him. Jesus was giving a wonderful illustration of what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. But the new commandment requires us to love as Jesus loved. His sacrifice is your model and my model. Jesus calls us to sacrificial love for one another, for other branches in the vine, on the vine, all connected to Jesus Christ. And Jesus' love was exemplified at his cross. But even before the cross, Jesus exemplified and illustrated this kind of sacrificial love that restores, that seeks to restore the wandering. In John 13, just before Jesus gives his new commandment, you are to love one another as I have loved you, Jesus seeks to his very best to restore Judas Iscariot, who was bent on betraying him. Jesus seated him to his right, which was the place of honor at the supper. Jesus also dipped his morsel and then gave it to Judas. That was the custom of friendship in that culture. Jesus was doing these things for a greater purpose. He was seeking to restore Judas. He was offering his friendship to Judas. He was seeking to reclaim Judas, even though Jesus knew perfectly Judas would betray him. His love to even the disciple who betrayed him was one of sacrificial love. So in John 15, 12 and 13, our Lord officially made sacrifice an essential characteristic of love between believers that we are to imitate towards each other. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's what he said in verse 9. Can you imagine how amazing that statement is? That God the Father loves you and me every bit as much as he loves his own son. Because his own son, the Lord Jesus, purchased the love of God the Father, the forgiving love, the restoring love, the redemptive love, on the cross of Calvary and by Jesus' glorious resurrection. Yes, you are loved every bit as much as Jesus is loved. And as Jesus, the Son of God, prayed, we know this love, the love of the Father and the Son, is what Jesus prayed would abide in each of us. Knowing and trusting in and relying on and resting on the love of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, we are able to love sacrificially. So verses 12 and 13 emphasize the all-surpassing love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus' love is far greater than the greatest of human love, because Jesus' love is a love that was sealed to us and given to us while we were still his enemies. That's how brightly the love of Christ shines. It's far greater than any human love. The passage teaches that we are Christ's friends, and we are Christ's friends because Christ demonstrated his love for us in giving his life on the cross to make us attractive to him, to make us his friends. But if we think closely and if we think honestly, we must recognize that when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us, strictly speaking, we were not his friends. True, he calls us his friends. True, we become his friends. But we become his friends because of his act, because he chose us in love before the creation of the world, when we were his enemies because of our sin, and that he sent the Holy Spirit to change our rebellious hearts, to fill us with love for God and faith in Christ and a desire to serve him. He overcame our heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh. When Jesus died for us in eternity past, he determined to die for those like me and you who were his enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know, here especially do we see the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Because as long as we think of ourselves as deserving of his love because of our own inherent goodness, or what we've achieved, or what we've done, the magnificence of the love of God will not overwhelm us. But when we see ourselves from God's perspective, as those who are lost, as those who rebelled against him, as those who have wandered away from him, and see that it was for us in that condition that Jesus had to die and was willing to die to make us his friends, then the friendship of God overwhelms us. There's a second great reason that God's love in Christ, Christ's love in verse 13, is greater than any human love. Greater love, Jesus said, has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Do you know why Jesus' love is so much greater than human love? It's because if you and I were to give our life for someone, the best we could do is to die physically. And the reason for that is you cannot die spiritually in the place of another person. But that is what Jesus Christ did for us. That is precisely what he did for us. Death is separation. Physical death is a separation of the body from the soul. Spiritual death is a separation of the soul from God. That is what makes hell such a horrible place. The reason is because God is the source of all good, of all love, of all joy. So to be in hell is to be forever separated from all good, all love, all joy. It is to have eternal misery, unrest, and hate. Yes, Jesus' death was terribly physically degrading and shameful. But the most horrible aspect of his death was when he became sin for you and me and bore sin's penalty. And we say, greater love has no one than this, neither man nor angels, that the Lord of glory should die a spiritual death for me and you. So we, if we trust Christ, will never die eternal spiritual death, but have eternal life now and forever. Do you know Jesus in this way as your friend? Do you know him as the one who bore the penalty of your sin? Do you know him as the one who through his perfect life and death restores you into fellowship with God? If you don't, you can. Acknowledge your sin, confess it, and trust him. Sacrificial love. Jesus says, if you know my love personally, if you've entered into a friendship with me, you have all of me in you through the Holy Spirit, and you are able to imitate my love. Now, here's a beautiful example of a couple that imitated Jesus' love. E. Stanley Jones, the evangelist from years ago, gives this beautiful example of sacrificial love. It occurred when he was first preaching in the mountains of Kentucky. And at the time, the people in the mountains of Kentucky were very poor. and his first evangelistic crusade was held in a schoolhouse. So he was invited to stay with a man or woman, and when he arrived, there was one bed in the house. And the husband man said, "You're going to sleep on the far side. I'm going to go in next, and then my wife will be on the other side." And then in the morning, they reversed the process. When E. Stanley Jones had to look at the wall while the husband and wife dressed, and then they went outside when he dressed. And he said, I've slept in palaces before, but this sacrificial giving on the part of this husband and this wife was the most memorable and most appreciated I had ever experienced, because it cost them something. Sacrificial love comes at a cost. And friendship thrives on mutual sacrifice. There is not enough of this in the world, and there's not enough of this in God's family. It's something we must consciously cultivate: sacrificial love and sacrificial giving. Do you know, friendship is called a sheltering tree. The poet Coleridge coined that phrase. I'm going to use it differently than he did. It is a sheltering tree in the body of Christ. Jesus gives us a wonderful picture in this passage. In his great love for us and inside of us through the Holy Spirit, he has made us branches, united us to him, and united us to each other. Now, that's a wonderful picture. We are sheltering branches who provide shade and refuge from the demanding, irritating, searing, hot rays of trial and adversity and loneliness and discouragement. You can find comfort by them. You can find strength near them. We are to be tree-like in that others are able to find nourishment and strengthening and encouragement in us. We are told in the book of Proverbs 17:17 that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs also tells us there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Proverbs also tells us that a friend gives. A friend gives support and encouragement. And there are many ways this comes. Sometimes the best of friends give us rebuke, which we need to hear, lest Satan get a hold of our lives and lead us down the wrong path. I have been blessed by friends who cared enough about me not only to provide the words of encouragement that patted me on the back, but also friends who gave me a kick in the pants when I needed it, to get me on the path of obedience to God. We need both. And God provides both through the branches on his vine. How can we love as branches? By abiding in Jesus. Jesus tells us in this passage that abiding is the key to loving. Loving as he has loved us. Notice what he says in verse 9. The key verb in this entire passage is abiding. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide. In other words, yield, trust, rest, draw near to God through his word and prayer. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide. So if you obey God, you will be abiding and strengthened in his grace. And then he says that we are to abide so that we would love as he has loved us. In other words, draw your strength from Christ to abide. As you recognize you can do nothing apart from Jesus, walk with him, rest in him, trust in him. And it's amazing how much and how often we will be able to love if we are resting and trusting and drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ. In and of ourselves, we cannot love sacrificially, but through Christ, we can love as he has called us to love. He enables us to love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word. We ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would enable us to love sacrificially. Show us, Lord, enable us to feast on your sacrificial love for us and so grow in loving one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.